From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. The Greek parliament is giving the go-ahead for a new round of severe austerity measures, an effort to keep the country from defaulting and getting kicked out of the eurozone. The vote capped a day of violent clashes between protesters opposed to the austerity deal and police in the streets of Athens. Several buildings were set ablaze. Dozens of people are injured. John Siropoulos is in Athens.
After a battle outside Parliament lasting hours, police reclaimed control of Athens' central square. They sent tens of thousands of peaceful protesters scurrying down central avenues. Disguised among them went the violent demonstrators, creating a diaspora of destruction. At least two banks were set to the torch, their steel portcullises prized open, their computers visible smouldering inside. Throughout the centre, streets were covered with the gravel of smashed plate glass and broken marble that had been ripped off the front of buildings to be used as missiles against police. As many as 50 demonstrators were reportedly lightly wounded. As lawmakers emerged from Parliament, some called for the resignation of the Public Order Minister. For NPR News, I'm John Siropoulos in Athens.
The White House says it's reached the best possible compromise on the health care law to provide women with access to contraceptives and at the same time uphold the freedom of religious-affiliated organizations. But Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says there's no room for compromise on a matter of religious freedom.
They don't have the authority under the First Amendment to the United States Constitution to tell someone in this country or some organization in this country what their religious beliefs are.
Speaking on CBS's Face the Nation, McConnell said he'll push for legislation that exempts from the health care law any organization that has moral objections to the birth control requirement. The head of Al-Qaeda is calling on Muslims around the world to support Syria's opposition movement. Ayman al-Zawahiri has released a video message calling for Syrian President Bashar al-Assad to be thrown from power. Assad has long claimed terrorists are behind the uprising. Meanwhile, the BBC's Jeremy Bowen reports Arab League foreign ministers met in Cairo today and decided to ask the UN Security Council to set up a joint peacekeeping mission in Syria.
The meeting ended without a news conference, but a statement was circulated that contained the Arab League's toughest language so far about the Syrian crisis. It remains to be seen how much of it will turn into concrete action. The statement called for the opening of communications and the financing of the Syrian opposition. It also called for a peacekeeping force approved by the UN to supervise a ceasefire, but without detailing the kind of force the Arab League had in mind. Perhaps they couldn't agree on that. But the fact that the League is even considering a peacekeeping mission into an Arab country shows the Assad regime's isolation.
The BBC's Jeremy Bowen in Cairo. This is NPR. Unrest in Bahrain today, with thousands of security forces deployed in the capital, Manama, to confront anti-government protesters. Opposition groups are urging supporters to turn out ahead of Tuesday's one-year anniversary of their uprising. Bahrain's Shiite majority is seeking to loosen the ruling Sunnis' hold on power. Peru says its forces have captured one of the few remaining leaders of the country's Shining Path rebels. From Lima, Matia Cabiza reports it could mean the end of a small but well-armed band of guerrilla fighters.
Florindo Eleuterio Flores, also known as Artemio, had a bounty on his head from the United States of $5 million. He was found in the jungle in the north of the country just days after he was seriously injured in clashes with security forces. He's reportedly receiving medical treatment. Artemio headed one of the few pockets of resistance of the Shining Path, an armed group which started Peru's bloody internal conflict in 1980. Nearly 70,000 people were killed over two decades. With his capture, President Ollanta Humala said Peru had won and inflicted a major blow to the rebels. For NPR News, I'm Mattia Cabiza in Lima, Peru.
Salvage crews off the Italian coast are starting to pump fuel out of the Costa Concordia just about a month after the cruise ship ran aground and capsized. Work to remove the fuel and avoid an oil spill has been delayed until now by rough weather and the search for those still missing. A Dutch salvage firm says it'll pump day and night. Italian officials say it could take up to a month to empty the 15 fuel tanks. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.